two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenovic.
So we have until tomorrow, if you're a voter, to vote in the Utah primaries. So one of the races that we're really keeping a close eye on, of course, we're watching all the races right here at KSLN's radio, but this one certainly comes top of mind, is Utah's 3rd Congressional District. You got incumbent Congressman John Curtis facing Chris Herod. I think it's for the third time. For the third time, we're going to ask Chris Herod in a moment to make sure, fact check me on that.
Yeah, let's bring him on right now. Chris Herod, former Utah State Representative and candidate for Utah's 3rd Congressional District. If you live in the 3rd District, you'll see his name pop up there right alongside John Curtis. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, Dave and Debbie.
Is it third? Is it the third time?
You know, it's the third. It's actually the third time for Congress. You know, I ran in 2017 against John. I won a convention, and then John gathered signatures. Tanner Ainge was involved, and then I ran in 2018, which I should have done because John hadn't. He'd only been in a few months, and then this is the third time. But I actually ran against him before I entered the Utah House. So this is kind of like the fourth race if you count that race.
My
you
goodness.
Know, so I ended up serving in the Utah House. So John and I have a long history. My son even took his daughter to a school dance.
Romeo and Juliet. This is the Montagues and the Capulets all over.
No, well, she married a friend of mine's son, and so she's already married, so that's not a possibility.
I'll see. Okay.
Well, tell us why are you so passionate against for running against Representative Curtis?
Well, you know, it's one of the things. It's one of the things you were talking about before. You know, as you might know, my wife is from Ukraine, and you know, for the last 3 months, we've been calling her basically every day to make sure that she was alive. Some of the times, you could hear the bombs in the background, and we finally got her here 3 months ago. But you know, this would not be happening if, you know, first off, if President Trump were still in office, Putin would not have attacked Ukraine. The other part, one of the big reasons I disagree with John is his emphasis on climate change. The best way to get Russia out of Ukraine is to start drilling, to go full for, to use our national, our energy reserves. And we truly are sacrificing Ukrainian lives for this belief in catastrophic global warming. And so I disagree. We must become a net energy exporter. I mean, it is killing rural Utah right now. I mean, I've had numerous calls from people, even in the Salt Lake Valley, that, you know, almost in tears, retired couples talking about, you know, they're on fixed incomes and they're not going to make it. They're selling their trailers. They look forward to retirement so they could use the trailer, but they can't afford the gas to get their trailer up in the mountains. And so they're just significant policy differences that Representative Curtis and I have.
Chris Herod on the line live with us right now. He's running against Representative John Curtis. Of course, primary election day is tomorrow here in the state of Utah. Well, I want to ask you this, though, Chris. I mean, you talk about using our resources here in the United States, but that's not a quick fix. You can't certainly tell people that, oh, yeah, you know, next week or the week after that, gas prices are going to plummet if only we drill.
Well, no, it doesn't. But we didn't get here overnight. You know, a year and a half, we were energy independent. But we've kind of, you know, and this is just a different philosophy that I have with John. And that is that I believe that we need to beat AOC's radical environmental policy. There are countries that around the world that like it when we don't use our energy resources. And one is Russia. One is Venezuela. Another is Iran. And because that greatly weakens that. So, no, it's not going to be a quick fix, but you can actually change things in, futures markets change. It's not going to bring it way down until you start to ramp it up. But you could give a little bit, a lot more than, you know, President Biden's 18% tax holiday that's actually going to only make inflation worse because, you know, we're borrowing that money. But we have to do those type of things. And, you know, one of the things in life is the small things matter. You know, we're celebrating Roe versus Wade right now, but had we passed the Equal Rights Amendment, we wouldn't have been having that celebration right now. And so, these type of things—that's where I disagree on John on a holistic, different things. But we have to push back on catastrophic climate change. Most scientists, I taught a class at a university level where we studied the science behind it. Most scientists don't believe in catastrophic global warming. We can always do better on the environment, but we cannot restrict our growth here because it actually makes the world more polluted. You know, when we canceled the Keystone Pipeline like President Biden did, most of that oil will still come to the, Gulf Coast, but it'll be trucked, which is not nearly as environmentally friendly. And then the excess is now going to be sent to China. And so we need these policies that look out for America. And we've got to push back at some of the narrative that's coming from the left.
Chris Herrod joins us right now. He's the former Utah State Representative and now is a candidate for Utah's 3rd Congressional District. We got primaries tomorrow. You mentioned Representative Curtis and his feelings toward Roe versus Wade. I want to play a little bit of a soundbite from Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson and get your reaction.
Well, I think it's important that all of us on both sides of this sit down and talk about women and what support they need if they're going to have an unwanted or an unexpected pregnancy. Look, I'm all in for that. I think that's a very important discussion to have. What resources as a community, as a city, as a state, as a country should we be providing? I think that's a really important discussion.
What does this discussion look like now? Now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned, what role do you think what would you do?
I do. This is time for us, the us that have been fighting it. We do need to stand up our charity organizations and provide for mothers that do find themselves. There are plenty of groups that will, step up, that will help mothers that find themselves in that situation, that will, provide housing for, while they go through their pregnancy, if they're going to give the baby up. But we need to make sure that we follow through on those. You know, there is responsibility. That is something I can agree with, with John, is that this is the time to help those neighbors or young girls or, find themselves in that situation. But we need to kind of back up our pro-life speech with resources and to help those individuals so that they can, put those children up for adoption. But that, that's a 9-month process. And so we need to do that. So I agree with that. I disagree with some of the things that, like I said, John's ERA amendment vote would very well, if possible, made it so that this day wasn't here. And so those are the type of things that I disagree. But John's right. Our community must step up because, I favor life. And I do know plenty of parents, too, that are willing to adopt. And we need to use those resources and step up. All of us do for that.
In your view, is there federal funding that needs to flow to the state to help women who find themselves in this situation?
The federal government, my experience is when the federal government gets involved, it makes things worse. It puts restrictions on. And so it doesn't make sense for us to, as a state of Utah, send money back to Washington, it gets eaten up with bureaucracy, and then we beg for it back. And so those decisions, I believe, are best made here in the state of Utah. It's one of the reasons why, I think Roe versus Wade is the right decision. Is it should have never been taken away from the states, but I don't think the federal government should be involved in that process. Local churches, communities, and the state legislature wants to get involved, that's fine, but we got to get out of this process of sending money, and then half of it gets eaten up by bureaucracy, and then we beg for it back.
Having served as a Utah state representative and now running for federal delegation, what do you think the largest challenges are for Utah outside of energy?
You know, it is just the overreach on so many things, whether it's education. We get roughly, now I heard it's up to 12, but when I was in the legislature, it was 6% of the budget from the federal government. We got 100% of the rules. And so to me, part of my core platform has always been is just, let's get back to the original interpretation of the Constitution. Let's keep as much money in the state of Utah in the first place. Let's get us out from, the strings of the federal government. But there was nothing more frustrating for me, having a constituent come to me and say, hey, this would help us. You send it to the drafting attorney, and then they tell you, well, you can't do it because the federal government says that you can't do it. That's not how it should be. The people in the state of Utah, people in the rural Utah, with lands, energy, education, we know how to do it best. We don't need the federal government involved in our lives.
Chris Herod, thank you for joining us, former Utah State Representative and a candidate for Utah's 3rd Congressional District, going against Representative John Curtis. We appreciate you taking the time and talking us through this.
Primary election day tomorrow. You heard from Ricky Hatch. He's the Weber County Clerk, that if you're going to have it postmarked, if you're going to take it to the post office, you got to do that today. And he wants you to walk it up to the clerk and make sure you watch them stamp it before they put it in the mail. Otherwise, you got to use a ballot drop box tomorrow. He said every city now under Utah law required to have a ballot drop box.
Which is the world's easiest. It's what I do.
You do.
I always fill it out on my kitchen table, but I drop it off in person.
Maria Chaleos, straight ahead. She's got continuing coverage of primary election day. Just tomorrow.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.